If you would just turn with me to Romans 8. Maybe our Bibles will begin to fall open in Romans 8 now. Hallelujah. Interestingly enough, last Sunday in the second service, I went to go to Matthew 3:11, and when I opened the book, it went right to there, to that scripture. Yesterday morning in my prayer time, I opened the book, and it did exactly the same thing. I don't know how that's happening, but I'm delighted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8, we'll just release here, starting with verse 1. It says, Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Therefore, whenever we see a therefore, we need to back up and find out what is there for. Because see, the therefore comes as a result of something that was already said. And what he wants us to know is what all was already said. And what he's saying is that there's no condemnation for those who will come and follow after Christ, who will dedicate their life and hear his voice and begin to respond and just come into a concert with the Spirit of God in your life. He goes on in verse 2 to just say that for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is why there's no condemnation. But see, it's therefore, because what he's trying to get us to recognize is the things that he was talking about in Romans 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7 had already set a template in a moment for this therefore. And the template goes like this, because see, in chapter 7, he's describing a man trying to achieve his righteousness through the law, a man trying to achieve his righteousness through the acts and the deeds that he's doing, because he says, he shows you how utterly lacking that is. But therefore, because that was lacking, therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because in chapter 6, he had described you to triumph that was available to you as you began to operate in harmony with God. We'll back up to chapter 6 with me so we can begin to understand a little bit of what that is about. Because in chapter 6, he says something interesting. Chapter 6, verse 3, we'll get that right. It says, do you not know? Do you not know? It's interesting, he says, do you not know, multiple times in this chapter. Do you not know? Do you not have an understanding of what has been purchased for you? Do you not know what I've already done and accomplished on your behalf? Do you not know the identity that was set for you? Do you not know? And the reality is, in the answer and in my heart, I have found areas where I do know and some areas where I don't yet know. I found another area yet this week. I don't remember, though. All the days are kind of running together. You get older, they don't run together. I don't know what happens there. But all the days were running together. But what I do know is I found another area where I didn't know last week. Do you not know? Do you not know what has already been accomplished? Do you not know what has already been done? He says, do you not know? And so verse 3, there's more to verse 3 than just do you not know? That all who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. And therefore we've been buried with him through baptism and death in order that as Christ was raised from the dead, so through the glory of the Father, so we might too walk in newness of life. Do you not know? Do you not know that baptism in Christ's death, that baptism into what he, that likeness of who he is and what he was and what happened to him, and that when you're baptized into that likeness, you're baptized into the triumph and the glory that comes with it. You're baptized into something that has given you the operation to change your life. See, when you're baptized into that, remember when Jesus was baptized, what happened? And what happened was this, is that as he was baptized, as he came back up out of the water, he was already signifying what was going to happen at the end of his life. He was signaling the death, burial, and resurrection that was going to happen at the end of his life. But what happened in the moment was that And the Holy Spirit came upon him. He was baptized in the Spirit. And as he was baptized in the Spirit, he was also the one who was going to be baptizing him in Spirit and fire. And he, guess what? There was a Spirit and fire, but there was also, as he was baptized in the Spirit, and the dove came upon him and rested upon him. The Holy Spirit was resting upon him there. Father came and announced, "This is my beloved Son," setting his identity. Guess what? You've been baptized into that identity. Not only were you baptized into his death and resurrection, but you were baptized into the Spirit and identity that comes from Christ. And when you're baptized in the Spirit and identity that comes from Christ, now that thing that used to torment you has no place in you. That's why chapter 6 goes on to tell you that sin has no more dominion over you. Why? Because the Spirit of God is now habitating you. Because why? Because when you were baptized into Him, you were baptized into this victory over those things. We don't always, those things are not always automatic in our life. We have to turn to the Spirit to experience it. We have to turn and let our thought and our consciousness be upon the Spirit of life. Because when our consciousness is on the Spirit of life, now He can bring to your domain, your dominion, He can bring into your position everything that God said He was on your behalf. Because we choose to recognize Him. We choose to be baptized with Him. We choose to recognize what He's already done for us. And as we do so, He says in chapter 8, verse 6, that the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Do you need more life? Do you need more peace? I think there's not one of us who can't say we could use a little more peace in our life and a little more life for our life. Because see, when we have that excitement, that life that comes from the Spirit, there's change that happens with it. When we have peace, there's a confidence that is released through it. When I begin to recognize, well, everything that the Holy Spirit has done in my life, as I recognize the operation of the Spirit, and I can recognize the confidence that comes with. Hallelujah. 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 Back over to chapter 8. I want to get to something here. So we know verse 28 again. For we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And we know that He's not talking about God causes all things. He's not talking about some flat tire that you had. We know that He's not talking about those distractions that come where sometimes the evilness of the world comes upon our situation. But He's talking about everything that I've already spoken to you. When it comes into alignment in your life, it's causing the glory of God to be released and for you to recognize who you are as a son or a child of God. Because it says, He puts a condition on it, see? Because remember, right here, what does it say? Let's not pass that up. All, it causes all things to work together for the good for those who love God. Of those who love God. First qualifier. And those who are called according to His purpose. Guess what? He said His purpose before Him. We talked about that last week. He said His purpose. He said His ambition to see, His intention to know and to have His presence with you. And out of that intention to have His presence with you, there's an intention to call you to Him. You see, we have to make a choice. We have to be ones who choose to love God. I wanted to say one statement here in that your freedom is just as much a product of your response as it is of God's intention towards you. Your freedom is just as much a product of your response, how you take a situation and deal with it, as it is of God's intention for you. Because he's already said his intention for you. He's already said his desire for you. He's already made known of his love for you. And what we have left now is what we do with it. T.D. Jakes said something that was interesting. He was addressing a group of entrepreneurs, and he said, having a vision is not really the thing that separates those who can truly be entrepreneurs. He said, it's having the understanding of what you have to leave behind. Because lots of people can have a vision, but because they're so busy serving this thing they won't let go of, they can't step into what's next. He said, that's what separates a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs from the ones who are wannabes. But in the same way, in our Christian walk, in our Christian faith, that's what separates those who are going on with God and those who are not, is because sometimes we have our response is keeping us tied to the thing that has already happened instead of taking us where God wants us to go. Our response has to be to reach out and grab where God is intending for us to be instead of holding on to the past. Now I'm going to get real vulnerable with you. What I discovered was that there's an area. See, I've known for a while. I'm in this process of coming into the love of God in a brand new way. And I don't, you know, what the love you guys see is awesome and wonderful, but I know there's another area and another dimension in His love for me. And in this process, I'm discovering that I've been hanging on to something. Because see, I was hanging on to the hurts that my father created, my natural dad. And I had learned in my processes to let go of the anger that those things created. I had learned to let go and to learn to receive love in that place, but there was still a place that I was holding me that I was using as an anchor because, see, I had learned a defense mechanism that kept me, that allowed me to justify my anger. I know. It's sad. I learned to justify what I was doing. And so when I learned to let go of the anger and I let go of the justifications, but I never let go of the original impact. This week, I learned to let go of the original impact. I learned to let go of the original thing, those things that were stirring, and I began to realize something. I miss my dad. I miss my dad. Something got removed from me because now I can miss my dad. Now I can experience something. I'm no longer hanging on to that past. I can experience something that has been there for me in God's love all along. It's always been there for me. It's just waiting for me to change my response and quit validating my responses in the old way and start applying myself to my God and my King in a new way. We have just a few minutes before the next service. But I want you to receive the communion individually this morning. And as you receive the communion individually, ask the Father, what is it that I've been holding on to that I need to let go of? What is it that's been an anchor to my past that is keeping me from achieving and stepping into what you've already ordained for me, what you've already equipped me for, what's keeping me from recognizing His goodness and grace fully and completely in my life? It doesn't have to be a sin issue. It could be a sin issue. could be an addiction issue, but most likely it's just something like this where we have a defense mechanism that was instilled a long time ago. And that defense mechanism is keeping us from receiving because we're so busy protecting all of our own instead of allowing God to be our protector. So this morning as we receive, I want you to know that you're loved, you're valued. If you want me to pray for you, I'll be up here just to the left of the pulpit, and I'll be glad to pray for you through whatever. But if you want to just receive of the communion elements, I recommend that you just present it before Father and let Him absolve it, because that's what He's so good at doing. All righty. God bless you. We love you. See you next service.